Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. In just a few moments, we're going to bless you with the conclusion of a message preached in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled The Box, The Lid, and The Contents. And if you've ever seen the Indiana Jones movie about the Ark of the Covenant, the gold box with the gold lid, with the angels of gold on top of the lid, then that gives you a mental picture that can prepare you for the message that we are about to bring you. But first, our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean have a song for us from their project titled Fearless. This track is named From the Inside Out.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And my heart and my soul, will I give you control? Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, us out, oh Lord.
And now be blessed as you enjoy the conclusion of the box, the lid, and the contents.
He could choose to be your prosecutor, but he chooses to be your mercy seat. He could choose to be your accuser, but he chose to be your atoning sacrificial ransom, shedding his blood for you. He chose to be your Messiah, who is God's anointed human vessel and the very manifestation of God in flesh. He chooses to be your Redeemer, your kinsman Redeemer, your Savior. He chooses to be your, not your prosecutor, your advocate, your defense attorney. He chooses to be, if you'll let him, your very God, who receives the sacrifice and views you through it in covenant kindness. I am complete in him. I am complete in Jesus. He is my ark. He's my box. He's the lid on my box. And he's all the contents in my box. He's everything I need inside and outside of the box. Whatever you need, it's in Jesus. It's all in him. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. The mighty God is in Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valleys. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Root and the Offspring of David. That means he's both David's Creator God and simultaneously his Son as a human man. He's the Bishop of your soul. He's the Apostle. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He's the only one who sits on the only divine throne in heaven. See Revelation 4, a throne which, by the way, in one place is called simultaneously the throne of God and the Lamb. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Abraham. He's the Son of David. He's the star come out of Jacob. He's the scepter that rises out of Israel. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the anointed one. I know I already said that when I said Messiah, but I like translating it by meaning. He is the shoot that comes up from the stump of Jesse. Oh, hallelujah. He's the fruit-bearing branch from Jesse's roots. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord will rest. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest. He's the Spirit of counsel and power. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord will rest. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the Logos of God. He is the new Adam. He is the light of the world. He is the breath of life. He is the life of the world. If you don't know him today, you need to get to know him. Those who stole the ark thought they wanted the box, and they thought they wanted the lid. And they seemed to have wanted the bowl of manna and the rod that budded, but they didn't want anything to do with the rules of the covenant, the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. But it's a package deal. You either take the covenant or you don't. You don't get to cherry pick parts of it. Yeah, I told you that God is not in the business of trying to provide you a magic ticket, a magic talisman, a magic charm. There have been people who foolishly thought that that was what God was about. I want to remind you in the book of Acts about the seven sons of Sceva. They heard about a demon-possessed man, and they fancied themselves as some kind of authority. So they went in where the demon-possessed man was, and they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the demon spoke through the man and said, "Oh, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is, but who are you?" And the Bible says, now I want you to notice, they knew how to pronounce the name of Jesus. They were holding their mouth right. They said the name right. And there's power in the name. But somehow when they spoke the name, the power didn't show up. Why is that? Because they did not have a covenant relationship with the person behind the name. So they spoke the name and it was just meaningless, hocus pocus babble. And the Bible says that demon-possessed man rose up and he beat him and he stripped him naked and he threw them out in the street running for their life. You need to hear me. The name of Jesus is powerful, but it will do you no good unless you have repented of your sins, been baptized in that name, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and are walking with God. You got to live for him. Amen. This isn't something of, oh, I can come in and have some little experience and then head back out, treat the church like a revolving door, have nothing to do with God or his people. But then I'm supposedly going to show up on judgment day and say, Lord, I'm saved. I bowed at that altar. They dipped me in that water. And I did a little shake and dance, and I mumbled some sounds, and I'm good, right? No. This isn't a magic talisman. You can just wave it like a ticket. We're talking about relationship. I say this not to be snarky at all. Many churches sincerely hold to a mistaken view. I weep. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. When that angel blows that trumpet and he splits that eastern sky and comes for his church, you have to have been living for God if you want to go in that rapture. It's a package deal. The Philistines happened to prevail against God's people because they stumbled in upon them at a time when God was using the Philistines as an instrument of judgment, because his people weren't right with him. The Bible tells us that Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were doing wickedly. Eli was the high priest, and his sons were priests under him. And they were making people to be angry toward the system of worship that God had ordained. God was not happy with Hophni and Phinehas, and he was not happy with Eli for not correcting them. And furthermore, the people themselves were rather in a sad state of affairs in their relationship with God. And so they go out for a battle against the Philistines, and the Lord doesn't show up to help them. And here would be a perfect time for them to say, we need to turn to God. We need to repent. We need to pray to the Lord. But no, what did they do? They said, let's go. Let's go to Shiloh, and let's get the Ark of Covenant, and let's bring the Ark of the Covenant back, and it'll act like a magic charm. We'll have victory then. So they went and they got the Ark of the Covenant. And when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp, they thought, our lucky charm, our rabbit's foot, it's here. We're going to have victory now. They gave such a great shout that it terrified the Philistines. They gave such a great shout that the Bible says the earth rang out. And the Philistines said, what is this that's happening? And the Bible says they knew that the Ark of the Covenant was come in, and they said, oh, we're in for it now. It's going to really be bad. Their God is going to fight against us. Now, at this moment, I got to hand it to the Philistines. They had real courage. They were literally terrified of the Israelites' God. Well, why wouldn't they be? The Israelites' God had a track record. He's the God who's real. He's the God who hears and answers prayer. He's the God that brought plagues on Egypt. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. He's the God that has done all these things, fire down from heaven. They've heard all the stories. They don't have any of those kind of stories that they really believe in for their false god, Dagon. Deep in their hearts, they know Dagon is no real God. Deep in their hearts, they know Dagon is just a helpless statue. They want to believe he's real. They wish he would be real. They pray that he's real. They just want him to be real so much, but way down deep inside, they know he's not. And I want you to look at this. It's almost like during World War II, those suicide missions that the Japanese would go on. You can criticize them for their brutality and their mercilessness, and you can criticize them for their imperial aspirations and greed and avarice to conquer land. But one thing about it, you got to hand it to them when it comes to dedication of their cause. That kamikaze fellow would say a little prayer, to his ancestral gods and say goodbye to his wife and kids and know that he was flying away in an airplane, that he had every intention of crashing that airplane into his ship and never coming home. He was on a suicide mission. That was literally the attitude. Read your Bible. That was the attitude of these Philistines. They were not right with God, but yet they believed in the Israelites' God more than Israel did. And they knew they weren't right with him. They knew they didn't have any relationship with him. They knew their only hope, if they met him on a field of battle, was judgment and death. And so they said, quit you like men. If we're going to die, let's die courageously. Got to hand it to them. So they went out to battle. And what they found, to their shock, was that the Israelites' God was not fighting for the Israelites. And they conquered them. And they slew tens of thousands of the Israelites. And they stole their Ark of the Covenant. They stole it. They took it as spoils of war. And here, the Philistines finally made the same mistake that Israel had, believing that the Ark of the Covenant was a lucky charm, a magic talisman, a rabbit's foot. The Bible names three of their cities that they took it to. First, they took it to Ashdod. And in Ashdod, that's where the temple to Dagon was. And they carried it in. They carried it into the house of Dagon. And they put it down in front of Dagon. Like, almost like a cat would bring a dead mouse to the owner. They bring this, here, look what we brought you, O Dagon. And the Bible says that God smote the people of Ashdod. And the King James language is a little enigmatic. The New International Version says, smote them with tumors. And it mentions, the Septuagint says, smote them with tumors and plagues of rats. And when they came in the morning, the Bible says the statue of their false god was laying face down. Oh, here, God, let us help you. Let us fix you, oh, God. So they stand their god back up. I'm going to tell you something. The real true God, he can defend himself. He never needs you to pick him up because he fell down face first. They stand him up and they go back out. They come in the next morning. Their fake god is not only laying face down again, but his appendages are broken off and his appendages are sitting on the threshold. And so the scripture makes us to know that from that day forward, they would always step over the threshold and not step on it, because they developed a superstition, because that's where they found his appendages. So the people of Ashdod said, look, our God is broke. Our God is broken. And he is helpless against this box. And we are smitten with tumors. Let's get this box out of here. So they took it to another of their cities, Gath. And in Gath, the Lord broke forth upon the Philistine people. Many of them were slain. Many more stricken with tumors. And so they said, we got to get this out of our city. And so they said, let's take it to Ekron. And on the way to taking it to Ekron, the people of the city of Ekron came out and said, don't you bring that box in here. We're in a panic over the death that box brings. It's almost like that God turned that box radioactive. Everywhere it went, it brought death. You know what it was God saying? Listen, I know my people weren't serving me right, and so I didn't stand up for them, and I let you judge them. But don't think that means you get to use my box like a lucky charm. And they realized, we got to get this box back where it goes. And there's a whole history there. I won't go into all of it, but the scripture tells us that they said, we're going to put it on a wagon. And we're going to have that wagon be pulled by mother cows who have just given birth. And while they're young, while their calves are lowing in the stalls in the barn, we're going to see if mama cow is going to turn toward her crying baby or if she'll go toward Israel. And then we'll know if it was their God that did this to us. And the anointing of God came on cows. And those cows walked away from their lowing calves and they carried that ark back to Israel. It was quite some time before Solomon's temple was ready to consecrate and dedicate. But the scripture says they brought the Ark of the Covenant. And the scripture makes explicit mention. I read it for you in your hearing. The scripture says that there was nothing left in the ark save the tables of stone. You know what that tells me? That tells me the Philistines, they said, we like this authority stuff. We'll take this rod that budded. And we like this miraculous provision stuff. We'll take this pot of manna. But we don't want anything to do with God's rules. We're going to leave that. We're going to leave those rules in the box. We're going to send those rules back when we send the box back. I tell you, folks, my mind is made up. I want everything God has for me. I want the authority. I want the miraculous provision. I want the signs. I want the wonders. I want the miracles. But even more than that, my soul is hungry to be righteous. My soul is hungry to be holy. And this is what Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm telling you, the Lord is longing for you to stand up today and say, I want this God. I want this covenant. I want this ark. I want the lid on it, and I want everything inside it. I want everything that God has for me. For every person in this room today, I can promise you, God has more for you. And to those of you that maybe don't see eye to eye with us yet on everything scripturally, I want to tell you, I'm not asking you to dig a different well. I'm just asking you to dig the well you already have deeper. I know you have a relationship with God, but if you'll dig down deeper, you can find treasure that you never knew existed. God has more for you here today. Amen. I want to tell you, as the music comes, I want to tell you about my friend, Archie Price. As a very young child, Archie Price found an altar and he repented. He was baptized in Jesus' name and he was filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But then as a child, he backslid. And in his backslidden state, he lived in sin just as hard as he could. He drank hard, he smoked, he cussed, he fornicated. I mean, you name it, he did it. And he lived this way for decade after decade after decade. And then one day, like the prodigal son, he came to his senses. And he came crawling back to God, just like the prodigal son. I don't deserve to be a son in your house, Daddy. Just let me be a hired hand. Just let me be a servant. And the Lord said, nothing doing. I'm going to put the family signet ring on your finger, and I'm going to put my robe around you, and we're going to let all the servants know that you're back and you're still my son. The Lord welcomed Archie Price back with open arms. And as he prayed back through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, his heart's cry was, Lord, I want to be righteous. I want to have your holiness. I don't want to mess with this filthiness of the flesh. All this tobacco that's poisoning me and causing cancer in me. All of this alcohol that's destroying my liver and destroying my functionality. I don't want that stuff. I want your holiness. I want your righteousness. And as God renewed him in the Holy Ghost, in a single instant, God took from him every craving for tobacco and nicotine, took from him every craving for the alcohol. He had been an alcoholic for decades, drinking hard liquor, massive amounts of it every day. God instantly healed him from all that addiction. What's more, God renewed his call into the ministry. And when he finally went on to his reward, he was a principal of a public high school and a preacher of the gospel, living for God in glory and peace, walking with God in the covenant. I want to tell you, God wants to baptize you with his spirit today and induct you into covenant by taking on his name in water baptism. I've told this story. It touches my heart every time. Some of you may not have heard it. I'm going to tell it here today. Years ago, I was a very young preacher as an elder under Brother Billy Cole. Started as a junior elder and minister in training and then an elder. And eventually, Brother Cole would have me to preach for him if he had to be out of town. What a great honor. I remember there was one night when I was the appointed preacher, but the Spirit of the Lord was moving so strong. And there were people, the altars were filled with people weeping and dancing, people running the aisles, all manner of shouting and glory. The aisles were filled with people. The altar was filled with people. And as I was supposed to be preaching, but all I was doing was just worshiping the Lord and giving a little word of exhortation here or there. And I look back, and over in this vicinity, my heart was grieved. There were some church people over here, and they were sitting there bound. They weren't praising God. They weren't participating in the deliverance that God wanted. And so I wanted to reach out to them. I gestured in their direction. I said, some of you here tonight, you're wanting to get out on the aisle and praise the Lord in a dance with us, but you're letting something hold you back. And I'm telling you, if you'll just get out on the aisle and begin to praise God, God will bring a deliverance for you. He will bring a touch for you. And as I was saying that, I noticed that the church people that should have been responding, they refused to respond. But right behind them were two young men that had started visiting our church. Brian Walker and James White. They had come from a denominational church. They were walking with God in all the light they had. They had an experience with God. They had a well dug, but they needed to dig it deeper. And they had originally started coming to our church because they had a crush on one of our Holy Ghost-filled girls from our church. She was pretty. They liked her. They were kind of in a little contest to see if one of them could win her heart over the other one. And isn't it amazing? People come to church for wrong reasons and God still gets a hold to them. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was making that appeal and gesturing in the direction of those people. And these two young men right behind them thought I was talking to them. And I saw one looked at the other and did something like this. The other one looked back and said, so all at once, they just kind of nodded their heads. They turned to the side. They walked out of the pew. They got out into the aisle. And then they just started dancing. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness. I thought, man, I got to get back there. I got to lay my hand on them. I started trying to get through the people. I started trying to work my way toward them. And as I was working my way through the people trying to get to them, I looked back and I noticed that the longer they danced, the more glory showed on their face. And next thing you know, there were tears streaming down their cheeks. And next thing you know, they weren't so much dancing anymore, but their hands were in the air. And folks, before I could even get back to them, God filled both of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They both began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Just not too many hours ago, the Lord poured out His Spirit in these waters right here as Brother Ken spoke with other tongues. Just not too many days ago, experience of speaking with other tongues for Brother Ralph and for Brother Ray. I want you to understand, folks, the Lord is on your side if you'll let Him. He doesn't want to be on a wrath seat for you. He wants to be on a mercy seat. There needs to be something within your heart that wells up that says, I want it! I want all that God has for me. I want to ask you to stand right now. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, here in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come. And I so much love the way that Pascal Christ did this. I'm going to do the very same thing. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come right here. If you need physical healing, I want you to come right here in the middle. And if you need a deliverance, if you need God to break some kind of change in your family.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.